morning. This is Glenn Coble. I am not in Boston, just in case our listeners, nor am I in Washington, D.C. I'm right here in Marion with you, and this show is called On the Air. And as always, on the third Thursday of the month, we have a guest, and our guest is Fred Malone. And I got to make sure I get the right number here. There, now your mic is up, Fred.
Okay, good. Malone.
And we're going to talk about movies today. And I spent, I don't know, probably 2 hours last night going over movies. And then I realized the movies I really know about are the really old, old movies. I don't know much about the new stuff.
So. Yeah, that's the way with me.
So, well, yeah, we're old.
We're going to concentrate. The list that I have that I worked on a few weeks ago and we didn't get to use.
Yeah.
Mostly like 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, yeah. Some early 70s, and that's about as far as I went.
Well, and that kind of is what I know about as well, being that we're similar
in age. And that doesn't preclude somebody if they want to call in about another movie. That's fine. We'll talk about whatever they want to talk about.
But, now, in the when I was 50 years ago, when I was in college, I took two courses in cinematography
or filmology or something
like
that.
Yeah. And I looked up the top 100 movies of all times, and it brought back a lot of memories, like M and Cabinet of Dr. Caligari and things like that.
Yeah.
And I loved those movies. Oh, yeah. They were really scary.
Well, they were rather offbeat,
and but very dark.
Yeah, but at the time they were extremely popular. You know, we're talking about the 60s and
well, those two were
probably
30s.
Even earlier than that. I was going to say those would be in the 30s.
And they were kind of the switchover from some.
But in the 60s, when I was in college, and you and I aren't that far off in age, those were extremely popular movies.
Yeah.
The ones that were coming back, especially a lot of silent movies.
Yeah, silent movies were quite interesting.
They were very popular, right?
Yeah. Well, you've got some announcements you want to make.
I do. I have some,
have
some things I want to clear up for the Marion County Historical Society before we get to talking about movies. We've got some really exciting upcoming events with the Historical Society. And I just wanted to mention what's going on. We are having our annual gun raffle, which we have done now. I think this is the fifth or sixth year that we've done this.
That's a Winchester, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Well, no. It's not a Winchester. It's a Henry.
Oh, yeah. It looks a lot like that.
Oh. Yeah, well, most of Henrys have lever action.
Yeah,
right?
So
this year what we're doing is a commemorative Henry 357 Magnum, which features the engraving of the Marion Steam Shovel on one side and the Marion County Historical Society logo on the other.
Very good.
These are one of a kind. There will not be another one. The previous four or five had a different image, and then, of course, the Historical Society's logo.
In 100 years, Antiques Roadshow will have
worth
$5,000.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But you can buy tickets for these. And by the way, they are limited to 4,000 or 400 tickets. So that's a limited issue type of thing. Tickets are $10 each or 2 for $20. And you can buy those at the Historical Society. And we're open again visits or just to stop in and buy a ticket Monday through Friday at the office. You can do that by going to the State Street side and pushing the bell, ringing the bell, and they'll come to the door and sell them to you. Or if you want to go when the museum is open 1 to 4 Wednesday through Sunday, they'll have tickets available there at the front door. You can just stop in and buy a ticket. You don't have to buy a ticket to see the museum unless you want to. But 400 tickets sold. The drawing will be held on November the 9th. That is the first Tuesday after the President's Dinner, which is the first Saturday in November. And, of course, all the proceeds benefit the programs and activities of Marion County Historical Society. You can also purchase these tickets from a board member if you happen to know who's on the Board of Trustees. Or you can go online to marionhistory.com and buy your ticket there and pay it through PayPal. So you can do a lot of different things to get these tickets. But, again, limited 400 tickets. One-of-a-kind Henry 357 Magnum rifle featuring the Marion Steam Shovel on one side and the Marion County Historical Society logo on the other. So that's very exciting. In October,
we are having... all your papers straight.
I got to get things so I'm not confused here. Roaring Twenties. Listen up, all you sheiks and shebas. Dig out your knee dusters and spiffy Gatsby gear for a swell evening. on October the 16th when history comes alive. The Roaring Twenties at Heritage Hall and the Wyandotte Popcorn Museum. It will be the real deal, featuring a jiving juice joint with 1920s-style libations, hors d'oeuvres, and fabulous frivolity, all while chatting with the likes of Warren G. and Florence Harding, Cole Porter, Edward Huber, Groucho Marx, and many other local and national celebrities. Are you excited?
I want to see Groucho.
It will be the cast pajamas when you browse through the ever-evolving exhibits of the Marion County Historical Society and the Wyandotte Popcorn Museum while you're sipping vintage cocktails like Bee's Knees, French 75s, or New York Sours. A variety of craft beers evoking the 1920s brewing styles will also be available. All the hooch and giggle water will be provided by the Real McCoy of Marion Speakeasies, the Shovel City Drinkery, located on North Main Street. Classic soda pops, including Shirley Temple's, Sarsaparilla, and even Birch Beer, will be iced down and ready to enjoy.
Sarsaparilla.
Sarsaparilla.
That's a nasty taste.
Ooh. Finger foods, popular in the Roaring Twenties. Also, fresh hot popcorn and all you care to eat will be included in the cost of admission. So don't be a sap. Get a wiggle on and mark your calendar for a swell evening on October the 16th. Tickets, which are limited in number and available only to those 21 years of age and older, are available for purchase beginning now at Heritage Hall or online at www.marionhistory.com. It's going to be a real humdinger of an evening, Glenn. Don't miss it.
Did you write that?
I did not.
I want to meet the person that wrote that.
Well, Randy Wendland put that together.
They dug into a lot of old terminology.
He did. And it should be a real exciting evening. This the Shovel City Drinkery, which I have not been to yet, but several of our members have, said it's a really cool place. It was open for a while, I think, under the name of Circa.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's been closed. You know, and this fellow that owns it now has really delved back into the history of what it was like during Prohibition. And of course, Harding was in the White House. So I think it'll be a great event. Again, tickets are limited. They're $50 per person. And we are kicking off our capital campaign to try to raise $1 million to put on to work on our roof and shore up our building at Heritage Hall. So
cool.
That's why it's going to be a little bit more on the expensive side, but you'll get all these great foods. You'll get a drink ticket, and you can also buy more drinks if you want, and you'll have an opportunity to view the museum and talk to all these fabulous people.
Fantastic.
And Groucho will be there.
Groucho's going to be there.
Absolutely. All right, the last thing I want to talk about before we really get into our movies today, Dinner with the Presidents. Now, Glenn, I think this is either our 13th or 14th year of doing this. Well, so this is a long-standing event.
Our minds slip a little bit when we get older.
They do. And I've tried to go back and recreate when we did the first one, but I can't find any old paperwork on it. I thought I was good about keeping stuff.
Well, you didn't have one last year during the COVID.
That's the only time we missed, right? We had to cancel last year because of COVID, but we are rescheduled for this year. And it's the first Saturday of November, which is the 6th this year. It'll be held at Dayspring Wesleyan Church, where we had it the year before last and the year before that.
By then, everybody will have had their third
well,
shot.
Well, let's hope. I know I'm scheduled to get mine anytime after November the 3rd.
Yeah, that's
they said right. 8 weeks out, I mean 8 months out, and I took my last shot on March the 3rd, so I'm figuring after November the 3rd. But Dayspring Wesleyan, which is located right across the road from Menards, everyone knows where that is. The evening begins with a gala reception and the arrival of the presidents, followed by a buffet dinner of dishes taken from the original White House cookbooks, and will feature those presidents who are speaking that night, will feature things that they ate while they were in the White House. So, and that's one of the things that makes this really a truly interesting event. Not only do we have former presidents speaking and other presidents in the audience that you can sit with, but we have recipes that these guys, the foods that they ate when they were in the White House.
Cool.
And some of them could get pretty interesting, especially the earlier presidents.
Yeah.
And this year my speaking presidents are George Washington, who was
our first
president. So there should be some interesting food there.
Yeah.
Martin Van Buren, who was our 8th president, and this is the first time we've had Martin Van Buren with us. He is a new reenactor doing Martin Van Buren. He did our luncheon with the presidents in May and did a fabulous job, so I'm really excited about having him. Obviously, Warren Harding, because we're celebrating Prohibition in the 20s, and of course he was in office in 1921, and this will correspond with 1921 and 2021, the night of our dinner. And then I think one of the real calling cards, or one of the real interesting presidents that we'll have this year, is John F. Kennedy. And of course, everyone living today recalls John F. Kennedy. If you're at least 50 or older, 40 maybe, I don't know, somewhere in there. He died in 1963. So, but I think that'll be a good draw for the speakers. And of course, coming back to speak again as our featured speaker, Mary Ellen Withrow. She's graced us with the last several years at our presidential dinner. So I'm happy to have. Yeah. She is a wonderful speaker, and she always has something fresh and new to talk about. And I know she's been working on her presentation for several months now. So that will be very interesting to have and to see. So don't forget that. And then our non-speaking presidents in the audience will be James Madison, Ulysses Grant, Chester Arthur, a little known president, Benjamin Harrison, Teddy Roosevelt, always a fan favorite. People love Teddy. Woodrow Wilson, Harry Truman, another fan favorite, Dwight Eisenhower. And for the first time ever at one of our dinners with the president, we're going to feature a first lady.
Oh, good.
She'll have her own table. She will not have her husband with her, so it'll just be her, Barbara Pierce Bush. And that's, of course, wife of George H.W. Bush, the 41st President of the United States. Mm-hmm. Master of Ceremonies will be James Cox, the 46th and 48th Governor of Ohio, also candidate for President in 1920, defeated by Warren Harding. So there could be some sparks fly between Cox and
Harding. You're not going to see them at the same table, right?
Well, the interesting thing about this is when Harding ran for governor earlier in his career, he was beaten for governor by James Cox. And then 1920 comes back, and they both candidates run for president, and Harding beats Cox. So kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So that, again, is on Saturday, November the 6th, 5:30 to 8:30. There are tickets still available for the general seating only. The featured speakers and the presidential speaking is all sold out. That goes quickly. People actually start asking to buy tickets about a week after the event the previous year. So
general seating, tell me what that
general
is.
Seating is a little cheaper. I think those tickets are, I believe, let me see if I've got the figure on that.
And do they not have...
They don't have a president
food?
At the table.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, everybody gets the same food. You get to hear the presidents, all that. You just don't have a president sitting with you for a dinner conversation.
If you'll pay for my dinner, I'll go and sit with you.
But I don't have the ticket prices here, so if you're interested, you can go online at MarionHistory.com. Check it out there. You can buy tickets through PayPal there. You can also stop at the museum to get tickets for this, just like you would anything else. Or you can call 740-387-4255. 740-387-4255. Or stop at the museum Monday through Friday, ring the State Street side bell. They'll sell you tickets there, or stop during museum open hours Wednesday through Sunday, 1 to 4, and they'll have tickets available there. And as I said, the general seating is a little bit cheaper than what the preferential seating or the seating with the presidents is. And I want to say, oh, here I have it. I just now saw it.
All right.
$32 for general seating, $20 for general seating if you're a child 5 to 12.
Okay.
And we do not encourage bringing children under 5 years of age because they just won't understand.
Yeah, and they might make a noise.
But we do get a lot of kids there, especially in 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year age.
Good place to learn.
It is, and it's an excellent history lesson. You get history lessons from the presidents that are speaking. Some of them will talk about their life in the White House. Some will talk about their life before the White House, or maybe a combination of both. Some may talk about their life post being in the White House. Mm-hmm. So you never know what you're going to get, but it's always very interesting. It's always a history lesson, and I've said for years, people will learn more about history when there are reenactors telling them about it than reading a book. A lot of people don't like to read. Mm-hmm. So,
Some of us can't read very
well. You know, and my wife is not a reader, and I know a lot of people that aren't. So this is the Marion County Historical Society's way of teaching you some general U.S. history and having fun and a good meal at the same time.
You know how I've learned to, because of my dyslexia, I really struggle to read, and it takes me forever to read a book. But I have found Audiobooks,
and wonderful. Fantastic. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I especially love to get an audiobook that's being read by the author.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because they can put emphasis on where they want the emphasis, and they know themselves because they wrote the story or wrote the book. But I do enjoy audiobooks as well, especially if I'm in the car traveling.
Yeah.
That's when I usually like
makes
to,
it really easy
yeah,
to
when
read.
I like to, like to listen to them. So, when is our first break, or did we go right past
no,
it?
No, we don't have breaks anymore.
Oh, we don't? Okay.
No, it's kind of fun. Scott has figured out how we can do it. Everything is run on the half an hour, or on the hour. So.
Okay, so we don't have anything going until 11 o'clock?
Yeah, we're going.
And then we got a 15-minute break.
Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
Okay,
great. So, talk to me about the movies.
Well, this is another kind of interesting pastime of mine, watching old movies. I like to watch old movies. I don't go into too much for some of the more recent movies. I have seen a few. My wife and I don't attend the theater much, the movie theater much. We like to go to plays and things like that. But we have seen a few recent movies over the last few years, if it's something that really caught my attention. I think the last movie that we actually saw in the theater was the one where Tom Hanks portrayed Fred Rogers.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I went to see that one. I went to see Bohemian Rhapsody. The one about Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, right.
And I went to see the one that was about, now I can't think.
Well, you've already mentioned two of that I have not seen.
That you haven't seen. Okay, yeah, the one about, I just drew a blank.
Sounds like.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, give me a first.
But anyway, those are some of the most recent ones that I've seen. So today I thought we'd talk more about movies from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And I may have written down some that were in the early 70s. So I don't have it in any particular order. I'll tell you my all-time favorite movie.
Okay, and then I'll give you my
all-time favorite, regardless of when they started and where they end, Yankee Doodle.
Yankee Doodle.
The story of George M. Cohen starring James Cagney.
Oh, we got a call. Let's go to the phone and see who we've got here. Hang on just a second. I've got to figure out how to do this again. Oh. Hi, you're on the air.
Fred, would you have been maybe the movie you couldn't remember? Was it Rocket Man?
Oh, yeah, that's right, Rocket Man. That's the one.
Gee whiz, I'm psychic. What number should I pick for the lottery?
Well, you better go buy a ticket quickly today. I'm getting feedback here.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. We're getting feedback back, so I'm going to have to... There we go.
I'll try it again.
Sound better now.
Yes.
Do you by any chance have a Columbus Public Library card?
No, I do not.
I tell you, the Columbus Public Library is incredible. They have free movies via two, not one, but two streaming services.
Really?
Hoopla and Canopy.
Huh.
And you're talking about film noir.
Oh, yes, right.
The 30s and 40s.
Right.
And even up into the 50s.
Sure.
They've got them.
Oh.
They have so many movies that are there in there. And you're limited, I forget what the number is. But if you have a public library card, and I think you can get one online, register to get one online, possibly. But if not, it's worth it to go to Columbus and get a library card and get access to these movies, because you could spend a whole day just looking at the inventory that's on both of these streaming services, and it's free.
Now, is that something that you get through your television, or is that something you have to get through your computer?
You get through your computer. However, Canopy, I have seen on a Roku streaming device that you can get it streamed to your television.
Right to the television.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
I haven't jumped through all the, no pun intended, hoops yet, but I'll have to figure it out sometime, or I guess I saw it, I loaded it to Roku, which I highly recommend to people. Check out Roku.
Yeah, I think we have that.
If I'm going to do that, I got to call my grandkids to come and teach me how to do
and
it.
And a young friend of ours, hooked up Roku, because now we get We get Disney and what's the other popular one? I can't think.
Amazon?
No, not Amazon.
Netflix.
Yeah, we get Netflix. And I think that all comes through our Roku device.
Huh.
Well, here's something incredible, too. I just located a new streaming service. For those who want just local, here in Marion, it's now available. It's centered in Columbus. It's called Locast.
Yeah, I just got it. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, yep. That is unbelievable.
And how do you
I don't have to worry. I can't. For some reason, they did something 2 years ago at Channel 10. I can't pick up Channel 10 off the antenna.
Yeah.
But with Locast, and it's free if you can tolerate
yeah.
advertisements every 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Or they ask for donations. They are a non-profit. They'll ask for donations of $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever fits your budget.
Right.
And that is just phenomenal.
Kind of like public broadcasting in a sense.
And in the near future, I understand that Sling is going to offer that to you without those, if you're a Sling subscriber, they're going to offer it to you without the all the infomercials asking for $5. You know.
Well, that's... some people are finally getting smart. But
now, can you still get that service if you're connected to a cable service or something like that?
I don't know if it goes that route.
What you do is if you have a cable modem.
We have DirecTV.
DirecTV?
Yeah.
You can, if you want, you can get rid of DirecTV. You don't need it anymore.
Huh. Is that right? Interesting.
Roku will, you can download HBO, so much stuff. But I tell you, it's worth it to start at the low end with Roku, which is less than, well, about $30. And Roku has so much free stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
even the movies that are interrupted with a commercial, you'll maybe get 3 commercials and that's it, compared to the 10 to 12 that you get on network television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just amazing how far it's finally come that these companies are doing what cable should have been doing a long time ago, a la carte.
Yeah.
Well, and cable just continues to raise their rates. You know, yeah. DirecTV, well, same thing.
Sling is raising their rates again.
Yeah. So here you go.
And another channel is Peacock. Only $5 a month for the Peacock channel.
Huh.
And there's just so much out there that is, you know, cable companies have to be dying because they didn't have the smarts to have the vision of the future that some of these other companies have, and they're making a killing, you know, for five, ten. I don't think I'm much over 30. Well, if I add cost of the cable modem into that, it's about $50, not even $50 a month.
Huh. My wife and I...
stuff I could ever... If I was... flat on my back for 6 months, I'd have so much to watch it would be funny, and I wouldn't even be able to watch it all.
Sure.
Well, my wife and I have commented to each other, just too much now. It's hard to make a decision.
Yeah.
And then we went out and bought BritBox, and that gives us a whole bunch more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a lot of alternatives there and everything. But, you know, for looking at old movies and stuff, I cannot recommend Canopy and Hoopla. Now, if I recall, Canopy, it's either one of the two, Hoopla or Canopy, you can load that from the Roku onto the Roku player or streaming device.
Mm-hmm.
You just go to the streaming store and pick up, there's so much programs that you can get for free and some that you can subscribe to. But if you're really into those film noir, that kind of stuff, that's there. And an interesting point, the film noir and all of the early films, like Frankenstein,
mm-hmm.
the monsters,
mm-hmm.
and all of that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
a lot of those directors and lighting directors came from Germany.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
They got the hell out of Germany because of Wonderful Adolf, and they brought their technique and everything to Hollywood. And that's why you get some of those wonderful, rich, black and white movies. And you mentioned M.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that some time ago on either Hoopla or Canopy.
That's a scary
thing. And the cabinet of Dr. Caligari,
right,
et cetera, et cetera. And these films are, they're just unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Very dark. Yeah. Very dark.
So let me get out of here. All right. You got to talk, and somebody else can give a call.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Yeah, it is kind of interesting. You almost get too much.
Well, yeah, you do. And again, time's an issue. I mean, we all have some time on our hands, but unfortunately, my life doesn't have a whole lot of free time.
Yeah.
What free time I do have, I usually end up reading. But I do occasionally get to see some of these movies, and I wish I had more time, but...
Well, you know, and also if you want to watch segments of some of these great movies, if you just go to YouTube and pull up that movie,
you can
get 10, 15 minutes. Like, I love the speech of Charlie Chaplin on The Dictator, and that's about 6 minutes, and you can listen to the whole speech, and there are a lot of things like that.
Yeah, TCM does a lot of that with shorts. In fact, I just saw that speech that you're talking
about. Is that right? I love that.
About a week or so ago on TCM in one of their little shorts that they have in between movies.
So. I did present that on the air about 2 weeks ago people could listen to it. Yeah.
Well, again, my favorite movie, Yankee Doodle, starring James Cagney, the story of George M. Cohen. I just think that was an overall good movie. It was like a biopic in a sense, of course, dramatized for Hollywood. But the music in it was fabulous. Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
George M. Cohen's music. And, of course, you can't beat Jimmy Cagney, one of the most talented actors that ever came out of Hollywood, and a close personal friend of Louis Brumfield.
Oh, is that right?
That's right, yes.
Did he come up to...
He did. Very, very often. He was at the farm. He liked to sell produce. I think I mentioned that before on this show.
Oh, that's right, you did.
He liked to sell produce down at the produce stand on Pleasant Valley Road. And he actually bought a farm in, I think, Connecticut or New York because of Louis' influence on him for farming.
Does the family still own it?
The
farm?
Which family?
The Cagney's family.
Oh, I don't know whether they do or not. I have no idea. I don't really know. But it's interesting. That'd be kind of neat to find out.
Yeah. Now, I want to tell you what my favorite one is. My favorite one is, and I saw it for the first time in that cinema class that I took, of course I can't remember it now.
Isn't it awful?
Yes. Oh, shoot, come on. One of the most famous... I got it right here. Hang on one second.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to look it up here.
We're with you. And if anyone else is interested in calling in, what's your favorite movie of all time?
740-383-9944. All right, here it comes. why didn't I... Citizen Kane.
Oh, Citizen Kane. Excellent movie.
You know, if nothing else, the last 20 minutes of that is riveting.
It is.
And I love Citizen
Kane.
It is,
yeah.
Now, my
And you know who, of course, that was supposed to be about?
Yes, Hughes, right?
No, not Hughes.
Oh, it wasn't Hughes?
Hearst.
Oh, that's right, Hearst. Of course it was.
Newspaper man, Hearst. Yeah.
Now, my top 40 or top 100 picks didn't pick either one of our choices.
Isn't that crazy?
It picked Space Odyssey.
Space Odyssey.
And I do love Space Odyssey.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Space Odyssey, and that was just on TCM not too awfully long ago.
It goes
ago.
Too long.
It is. I think it's a bit. I think it's a bit repetitious, and it's a little bit too long for me. But I can't understand why it would be number one when they had so many other choices. But there again, that's just me. And
their top three are Space Odyssey, The Godfather, and
The
Citizen
Godfather.
Kane.
Yeah.
And The Godfather's too bloody for me.
Well. I didn't write down The Godfather. Wasn't one of my favorite. Of the trilogy, I think there were three. Godfather, the first one, was probably the best. I think they started to overdo it. I think they were looking to make money.
With two
and three. So I would agree that Godfather would be a good choice. But again, it didn't make my list as far as that part's concerned.
All right, well, let's continue on.
1939, a big year, probably the biggest year that Hollywood ever had. I didn't write down all the movies that came out in 1939. But there were about 12 or 15 that were blockbusters in 1939. The top three that got most all of the Oscar picks that year were Gone with the Wind, Wizard of Oz.
Of course.
And The Rains Came, which was a Lloyd Brumfield picture.
I did not see that.
It actually got the nomination for Best Special Effects and actually beat out The Wizard of Oz and Gone with the Wind.
Is
for special
right?
effects, yes.
Yes.
So that was a big year.
Give me the name again, because I want to remember that.
The Rains Came.
The Rains Came.
Yes,
okay.
And I think, still rent that up at the library. They used to have a copy of it at the library. If not, you could find it online, I'm sure.
I'm sure you can, yeah.
No problem. That was from one of his novels. Just going down the line here with no particular order, I just jot down movies that I liked. The Thin Man. Do you remember the Thin Man series?
I do remember the Thin Man
series.
With
William Powell.
Yes. Was there a movie called The Thin Man?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. There were several. There were some sequels to the original Thin Man.
Yeah, I think I
saw that. It was a detective's type. Yeah. Actually kind of a noir-type picture. Not to jump out of order here, but because I do have a category back here of Westerns, but when I was writing down some of these movies of my favorites, I jotted this one down because it was one of my favorites, and it was a Western, High Noon.
Oh, yeah.
With Gary Cooper.
That is kind of I watched it once. I'm not going to go back and watch it again.
Yeah.
There's just too much
to
handle.
as Western movies, and of course, Gary Cooper, one of my all-time favorite actors, probably Western picks, I'd say it was right up there with some of John Wayne's stuff. Because I'm a big John Wayne fan, too.
See, I'm not
when it comes to movies.
I wasn't a John Wayne fan because it seemed that most of his movies were the same until he got older.
That's
when
right.
When he got older,
right.
He was very nuanced.
Absolutely, yeah. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Yeah, yes.
Jimmy Stewart, you remember that one?
I do.
Where he is a elected to the Senate seat, really kind of thinking that he's just going to be a stooge and do what the other senator,
and
he isn't. kind of turns out to be a man of his own means, fights for the boys' clubs of his state, and just a fabulous movie. Of course, I don't think you can beat Jimmy Stewart no matter what he was in.
Yeah, he's.
And that just brought to mind another movie that Jimmy Stewart made that was also one of my favorites I didn't write down. Harvey.
Oh, Harvey, yeah.
With the 7-foot-tall invisible rabbit?
Yeah.
What a fabulous movie. And to be able to be talented enough to act like there was a 7-foot-tall rabbit with you all the time. Absolutely unbelievable.
Do you suppose the director had a broom that he held up at that height all the time?
I don't think you can beat the talent of Jimmy Stewart no matter what he did. And he did Westerns, he did comedies, he did dramas.
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life.
That's,
I think, somewhere in my list. Another one of his great pictures. He did some Alfred Hitchcock stuff.
Yeah, he did.
So, I mean, he was a multi-talented actor.
Rear window. That will scare you.
Oh, yeah.
Death.
Yeah. Any of the
Alfred Hitchcock
stuff will scare you. But you know, and here was a guy that was married to the same woman for 50 years, you know, which
was
Holly,
it really?
I didn't know that. Yeah, they were together more than 50 years, probably altogether, if you could Google something like that and find out how long they were together. But yeah, they had a long Hollywood marriage.
Lovely.
Which is extremely unusual, but
yeah.
Another great actor. Mr. Deeds Goes to Town, another Gary Cooper.
I have not seen that. I've heard it.
Where he inherits a whole gob of money, and they take him to New York and try to change him, and of course he can't be changed, and everyone's fighting to try to get his money, and it's just an excellent, excellent movie. And the thing with a lot of these movies that we've already talked about, Glenn, there was a message in those movies. Like some of the early TV shows, the Andy Griffith shows and things like that, there was an underlying story.
With father,
a message. There was a message there to be told, a lesson, a life lesson.
Even Beaver had a message.
Yeah, absolutely.
In every show.
Yeah. Maybe a lot of people don't know this movie, but this is one of my favorite holiday movies because it reminds me so much of Malabar. And the name of it was Come to the Stable. It starred Loretta Young. And it was about there's a telephone.
Yeah, we'll get this phone call, and you can talk to us about Come to the Stable after we answer this phone call. Hang on just a second if I can remember how to do this. You're on the air. Hi.
Hey, you talk about favorite films. Hey, what do you guys think about Debbie Does Dallas? Just kidding.
Not one of my picks.
Just kidding. You know, you talk about the Jimmy Stewart and that, and those movies of that era. Those were morality.
Yeah, things. Absolutely.
Yeah, they were.
And, you know, that's something from the 60s, 70s, that got away from really the story. And there are only damn few that hope to inspire a morality or a sense of an individual's purpose. It's not themselves, but it's the people and the communities in which they're surrounded in that. And that's all been lost. There's just too much, crap out there.
Well, and again,
Hollywood
and again,
exploits.
I think a lot of it is, you know, they're looking to make as much money as they can as quick as they can, and mm-hmm. it's stuff that grabs people and titillates their fancy, so to speak, and that's what it's all about today. But you're right, the morality is gone.
Yeah, it's all about everybody uses the phrase on movie reviews. Oh, that was a great ride.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And then voila, it's a ride at an amusement park.
Yeah. Here today, gone tomorrow.
But here's a movie I think you've both probably seen, and I had the opportunity to meet the director, and I worked, and I regret it to this day. Robert Wise, The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Classic.
Yep.
Absolute classic.
And then he went on, and he did West Side Story and Sand Pebbles and some other things.
I forgot all about West Side Story. Yeah,
I think I've got that down.
Mm-hmm. And
he was a great director.
But some other ones maybe on your list, Fred.
Yeah.
Inherit the Wind.
Oh, sure. Of course. Yeah.
To kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
I think both of those were Stanley Kramer's.
They were.
And To Kill a Mockingbird didn't really follow the book as closely as some people wished it had. This was a great movie.
Gregory Peck did an excellent job.
That's why when people say, it wasn't like the book. Well, hey, why don't you get the money and make your own movie?
That's right.
Or read the book again.
Or read the book or whatever. But I think those are really Inherit the Wind and To Kill a Mockingbird.
Love both of those. Yeah.
Well, of course, Inherit the Wind was based on a true story. Character that was portraying William Jennings Bryan, of course, they didn't call him William Jennings Bryan but he was a candidate for president against William McKinley two times and lost.
Is that
times.
Right?
Yeah.
William Jennings Bryan, yeah.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Right. I forget the character in the movie, what they called him there. And, of course, the opposite character, played by Spencer Tracy, was a very famous attorney of the time.
Yes, he was.
But excellent movie.
But those and again, those were, I think, the 60s,
right?
Early 60s. Mm-hmm. They were still, kind of a carryover of the morality play,
and still kept in black and white, even though Technicolor was available by the early 60s.
Mm-hmm. Technicolor was available back in the 30s.
Oh, sure, yeah.
They were in black and white. I didn't remember
they were
that.
Both in black and white.
Oh, yeah, black and white.
Yeah, both
so,
of them.
You know,
which I think added to it a lot.
Yeah, there are movies that are better in black and white.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. No distractions.
No,
and,
right.
You know, you play with the negative spaces as well as the positive.
Well, and talking about that, about 20 years ago, it got to be real popular to colorize some of these old black and white pictures. Absolutely ruined them. In my personal opinion, I'd rather watch the black and white than I would the colorized.
Well, they were ruined.
They were
destroyed.
Sure.
Ted Turner destroyed the American art form of the feature film by colorizing all of those.
Yep.
Now, I'm watching on YouTube colorized pictures of people. And not only are the pictures of people colorized, but they add animation to their eyes and to their mouth.
Really?
And I'll tell you what, it's shocking to watch Hitler look at you and move his eyes, and it'll scare you.
Oh, I don't think I want to see that.
And he's got all these beautiful, the women that were Ziegfeld Follies, and they're just gorgeous. And unfortunately, in black and white, for some reason or other, they're not quite as beautiful as they are in color with their eyes moving.
Sure. Well, I see. I guess I can see that. I don't want to see it, but I guess
it's not in a movie form. So.
Well, you know, one of the biggest things that contributes to that feeling. If you look at Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid,
which was just on last night,
good movie. Yeah.
Conrad Hall was the cinematographer on that, and you know when you get a good cinematographer, you don't have the crisp reality, but you set the mood of everything.
Lighting is very important.
Lit,
to that. Yeah,
yeah, it's lit, and then by the lens and the composition and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, but it you know, I tell you. Not going with the wind, but to inherit the wind and
Kill
a Mockingbird are probably, I think, among. There are so many damn good pictures.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So, but they're right on get the out of here.
Okay. We got to get out of here because we're leaving in 2 minutes.
Break time. Get close break time.
All right. Let me turn this off. Interesting point, and those are two terrific films.
Oh, they are. In fact, they're on my list down here somewhere. I know I wrote them both down, but I forget where I was now. Oh, I was talking about Gone to the Stable. So Gone to the Stable takes place in the 50s, late 40s, and it's basically about these nuns that have come from overseas after the war to start a children's hospital in Pennsylvania near Bethlehem, and they were sent by God, according to them, to come and start this hospital. Well, they end up wanting to buy some land right across the road from a farm that this guy owns, who really reminds me of Louis Brumfield, only instead of an author, he writes music. Hmm. But he's got the Jeep, which Louis had. He's got the dogs, which Louis had. He's a rich. He works in Hollywood part-time, works on his farm the other. There's a lot of similarities between Louis Brumfield and his. But it's an excellent, excellent movie. And again, it has a lesson. No, this was called Gone to the Stable.
Come to the Stable.
Yeah. All right. Starring Loretta Young. Yeah.
I loved Loretta Young, a beautiful woman.
She was.
We're down to our last 30 seconds, but we're going to come back after 15 minutes.
I got pages.
Oh, yeah.
We may end up doing another.
Well, that would be fine. We're having fun.
We're not even a tenth of the way through
I'm sure we're not. No. All right. Well, we'll be back. We're going to go away for about 15 minutes, and then we'll be back with Fred Malone from the Historical. We call him from the Historical Society, but he does everything. We're going to be back with Fred, and we'll talk more about movies.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian Dick Gregory.
I guess it's my prayer to the real God.